I always have a little wicked thing where I think as I'm walking up, if I take my time, how long can I make Derek have to improv? So a thing started happening to me when it became known to my friends that I was going to church. You see, I'd taken a break, a long break. I, around high school, stopped going fairly regularly, and in college, got very angry at the church, and just, I took some time. And then, actually here, I began to come back and to regularly attend and to start to be known with my friends as a churchy girl, as someone who talked to God. And so what would happen with my friends who were not churchy and who did not consider themselves people who talked to God is inevitably something bad would happen in their lives. They would have someone sick in their family, or they would be sick, or they would lose their job. And they would say, Erica, will you pray about this for me? And I always thought that was a little weird, because surely they could pray about this. I don't hold a special key to God. But I would, because I loved them. And the longer I sat with it, the more I realized what they were asking me to do wasn't necessarily to pray instead of them. It was that, I think, they sensed in me someone who was comfortable knocking on the door, who was comfortable asking in a time of suffering in the present tense for God to be with us. And that is something, if you are not practiced in it, can feel pretty audacious to do. So my friends weren't saying, please pray for me, like we hear some people do. They were saying, I don't know how to do this thing in this suffering moment I am in. They weren't saying, teach me how to pray. They were saying, teach me how to pray in the present tense when the present tense is hard. I think that's what the disciples are asking Jesus today. These were good, faithful men. Surely they've prayed before. But they were saying, Jesus, teach us to pray how John taught his disciples. Teach us how to pray in this. And this was a very hard time in Palestine. There was great suffering. And they were saying, how in this do we pray? And Jesus told them what to say. And I think for us who have heard the Lord's Prayer over and over and over and over and over again, we maybe don't hear the audacity of it anymore. It begins talking directly to God. Our Father, hallowed be your name. At that time, you weren't supposed to say God's name, and surely they said Lord or something else in between, but it's still a direct God. You are bigger than me and more glorious than me and hallowed and holy, and still I'm talking directly to you. Yikes. And then it says, thy kingdom come. It acknowledges the truth of the kingdom of God, which Jesus has been trying to teach these people about over and over again with so many stories. The kingdom of God is like the small mustard seed that grows to be the giant tree. The kingdom of God is like the yeast that grows and grows and grows. The kingdom of God is this and this and this, because they couldn't quite grasp it yet. And he's saying, when you pray, know that it's already here. Thy kingdom come into this, even into this suffering, even into this hard time where it seems unimaginable, that little mustard seed, thy kingdom come and it will grow. And then it says, give us today food. We are hungry today, and give us what we need just to get through today. I think a lot about 12-step and about one day at a time, how sometimes looking at the whole big picture is too much. All you can do is look at that one moment where you need something right then, and what you need is bread for your hunger. In the suffering, in the lost job, in the sickness, what do you need today? God, give it to me today. And then Jesus said, "Forgive us our sins, trespasses." My favorite translation is what my Presbyterian friends say, "Forgive us our debts." Forgive us those things that are weighing us down that we took on and now it's too much, that have exponentially grown and that weigh us down and get in the way of what we're trying to do now. My friends who also are struggling with student loan debt, do you not feel this viscerally in your bones? So when Jesus says, "Forgive us it all," it lifts what you are struggling with today. Get rid of it in the suffering. That's audacious. And then it ends with, "Deliver us from evil, from the time of trial, from temptation." It's saying, yes, in this present moment, it is real. Evil is real, suffering is real, these hard times you're in are real, and please deliver me through it. It's not saying if you'd been a better person, this wouldn't be happening. It's not saying that if you do the right things, everything will work out. It's saying this is really happening. God, help me get through it. This is an extraordinary way to pray in the present tense. Audaciously reaching out to God, saying, even though it's so small, that kingdom is here, saying, the thing I hunger for that I need today, give it to me. Lord, the thing that's weighing me down, set me free, because evil is real and I need you. Then Jesus tells a story. He tells a story about someone knocking on his friend's door in the middle of the night, and his friend goes, "What are you doing?" But he keeps knocking and he keeps knocking and he keeps knocking, and his friend opens the door and gives him what he needs. Persistence in prayer, Jesus says, is what it takes to pray this audacious prayer. You can't wait for times to be good. You can't say, now that everything is perfectly aligned and I've gotten 8 hours of sleep and all of this stuff, now I will pray. You need to persistently pray in the middle of the night when it's inconvenient and you're uncomfortable. That's when you need to knock on the door. And you need to do it again and again. And I think for my friends, and I think for us, that's hard to do without practice. I think that's part of what they were asking me to help them with. I think they were at the door and they went, "It's the middle of the night. This isn't convenient. Will you knock for me?" Because if you knock, the door will be opened, and if you ask, you will receive. And this seems like a really good deal, so why is it so hard to do it? Why is it so hard to pray this audacious prayer when we need it? There's a section in what Jesus told them to pray that I skipped over. Did you notice? "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." It can be easy to see this as transactional. However good you are at forgiving, that's how you'll be forgiven. Isn't that terrible? I'm not terrific at forgiving. I do my best. I try. But Jesus says that God's really better at it than we are, first of all. That's where the story of the parent who the child asks for a fish, and he gets not just a fish, but all the fish. He doesn't get a snake. He doesn't get something bad. The God who loves us gives us what we need and more. And I confess, I've always had a little trouble with that, because with my kids, when they ask me for a snack, my response is often, "Wait till dinner." But God doesn't tell us to wait till dinner. God says, "You get what you need now." So forgive us our debts as we forgive those indebted to us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Part of this audacious prayer is acknowledging that we are part of the kingdom. That the way God works, the way God opens the door, the way you get what you're asking for is through others. If all my student loans were paid off today, what could I do with that money out in the world? If I am not hungry, what can I do with the energy I now have that used to be spent paying, trying to get food? When we get what we need, then we're able to give more and more and more. And if we all participate in that, that's how that little mustard seed becomes the giant tree. This prayer, did you even think? It's so much. So I'm a little sad that my friends don't ask me in this way anymore to pray for them in these specific times. Some of them will come to me now for pastoral care. They'll know that I've gone through seminary and read a lot and pray and that I have some chaplaincy training. And they'll say, hey, my mom's in the hospital. What do I do? They'll ask for sort of my technical expertise. But they don't say, Erica, will you pray this for me? And I wonder if it's because now I kind of represent the institution. And I know from my own time away that sometimes our relationships with the institution can be complicated. So I try to be there for my friends as they ask me to be there, but I have an ask to you all. Do your friends ever come to you and ask for you to pray for them in their time of trial? Are you known in the world as someone who comes to church, who prays, who talks to God? Notice these moments because they're precious. Because people who are not persistent, who are not practiced in knocking on the door, they literally don't trust that they can do it. And you know they can. So I'm asking for us today to bring God's kingdom to earth as it is in heaven, and to do that through paying attention. Do that to notice when people ask us to help them knock on the door. And the only way we're going to be comfortable doing that is if we are persistent on our own behalf as well. What do you think? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.